हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरिः ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं, यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्। यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः, वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः, ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः, यस्यां तन्न विदुःसुरासुरगणाः। देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्रीपरमात्मने नमः। सो वि सीइंग दिस् कमेंटरी ऑन शंकर कमेंटरी ऑन भगवद् थर्ड चैप्टर, especially the very introduction, and where Bhagavad-pada makes it very clear the difference between two disciplines. By way of clarifying the difference between two disciplines, as part of it he negates jnana karma samuchchayavadaha. Why has to do it? Not only one Bodhayanaha. In fact, the people who for whom this creation is real, who believe in the creation of the universe, and who have their own theories of creation, all of them also think that karma is important for them. In fact, they don't even care for jnana. Whereas the whole samsara is because of ajnanam. In fact, there's no real bondage, there's no real moksha. The no erroneous notion, erroneous perception caused bondage, erroneous notion caused bondage has been resolved by correcting the error in the notion only. That's why what is it only jnanam? It is just jnanam what is needed for claiming, taking ownership of the freedom, the limitlessness which is already there as the very nature of reality, as one's own surupam. So where is the question of combining any karma with anything? Even the shastram, Veda shastram prescribes karma. Of course, Smriti also prescribes karma. We have Shruti Vihitam karma, Smriti Vihitam karma. All those karmas are prescribed for people of different ashramas as different duties for their mental preparation, for the upliftment. It's not for moksha. Karma has been prescribed for converting the immature into mature, for people to become disciplined. It's not for moksha. So the problem is, all these acharyas, when many acharyas of different systems, the proponent of different systems of philosophy, they all also hold under the view that jnanam must be combined with karma in order to be effective as a means of attainment of moksha. That's what is denied. So in that way, we saw towards the end, Shankara Bhagavatpada finally said, he presented many quotes from Upanishads. Towards the end, Shankaracharya said, what we read last, when Purapakshi said, Grastasya Ayasa Bahulya Karanat Mokshah Syat, only a grihastha, grihastha alone has tremendous strain, abundance of, you know, strain on his part. Tremendous strain is there for him. Why? Grihastha has to perform the karmas prescribed by the Shruti, the karmas prescribed by the Smriti also. And along with his atamata of jnanam, as a means of atamata of mokshaha. So grihastha has to attain jnanam, has to combine that jnanam with shauta karma and smartha karma in order to be able to attain moksha. Therefore, he is ayasa bahulyam. He has tremendous strain, excessive strain. Therefore, he alone is eligible for attaining moksha. Only for him moksha has syat. Ashramantaranam shauta nitya karma rahita tvat na moksha. Whereas, people of other ashramas, people of the ashrama, specifically sannyasa ashrama people, who avoid performing the nitya karma, the prescribed duties of Veda Shastram, especially the Shruti. Shruti ordained nitya karmas are not performed by sannyasis. Therefore, for them, no mokshaha. This is something he wants to say. Shankaracharya did not want to continue his argument anymore. He just wanted to say one thing. Tadapi asat. That is incorrect. That is not right. Know why? He said, Sarva Upanishatsu Itihasa Puranayo Puranayo Purana Itihasa Purana Yoga Shastrecha Jnanangatvena Mukshoho Sarva Karma Sanyasa Vidhanatu. As there is prescription of renunciation of all actions for any moksha, as part of the jnanam, in all the Upanishads, in Itihasas, in Puranas, in Yoga Shastra, everywhere, for any moksha, jnanam alone is prescribed. Sarvakarma sannyasa is prescribed. Sarvakarma sannyasa is mentioned there. And not only that, even there is also in Shruti and Smriti, in both original texts, Upanishads, in the Veda, and also in the Smriti Granthas, everywhere, there's also mention, there's a prescription of sequential, the ashrama, the ashramas also has, one has to go through the sequentially all the ashramas. This also has been mentioned. And not only where it is mentioned in all the Shruti and Smriti, where it is mentioned, one has to go through sequentially all the ashramas, means towards all people of all ashramas should end, culminate in what? We had to go through sannyasa ashramaha. Renunciation of actions is inevitable at one stage. Not only that, if a person has already lived his life as a spiritual person, a disciplined life, in the previous janmas itself, if a person, in his previous janmas itself, he worked hard, he was aspiring for jnanam and moksha. As a parshna purusha tanischaya, the commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, if a person really worked in his previous janmas, are being given the study of the shastram, or living of karma yoga, etc. And still if a person might have died as a yoga brashtaha, without having accomplished the jnanam. Aspiring for jnanam, a person might have lived his life in the previous janma. So he must have lived his life according to the instructions of the shastram. But still the person who would have made efforts might have died without having accomplished jnanam. Such a person alone must be born in this world as a yoga brashtaha. Such people, they come and they don't need to go back to grihastha ashrama because of their maturity, because of the mental refinement which they have earned all in the previous janmas. Those people can already, being born in this world, having gone through brahmacharya ashrama, straight away they can skip the ashramas, they can go to sannyasa ashrama. Or even after entering into grihastha ashrama also, one can skip vanaprastha ashrama and enter into the sannyasa ashrama. Or going through all the ashrama, one has to enter into sannyasa ashrama. Anyway, sannyasa ashrama is inevitable, unavoidable. Everyone has to go through sannyasa mentally at one stage or the other, one lifetime or the other. Therefore, as there is prescription of the ashrama vikalpa and ashrama samuchaya, there is ashrama samuchaya vidhanam. Ashrama samuchaya, prescription of having to go through all the ashramas sequentially in order. There's also a prescription of the sanction of missing, skipping the ashramas also in between, in keeping the mental refinement and preparedness. So from all this, what is understood is sarva karma sannyasa vidhanam is there. There is prescription of total renunciation of all actions everywhere for a person who is desperate for moksha. I want only moksha, not anything else. If such vairagyam is there on the part of a person, he needs only jnanam. The vairagyam is there. Mind will sit. Mind will not go to anything else. Attention will go to different things, objects and pleasures only if the degree of vairagyam is not very firm. The detachment, vairagyam is detachment. Detachment means what? Being free from both passion and aversion. There's no passion for anything else in the world. There's no aversion towards anything else in the world. Being free from both passion and aversion is detachment. Total detachment. Such detachment is possible for a person only when a person knows the value of jnanam. He knows moksha is a choiceless end. And when he understands the connection between jnanam and moksha, when you understand jnanam and moksha being identical, whose commitment would be only for jnanam, then naturally, such a person, shastram prescribes what? Only renunciation of actions. So renunciation of actions is not for everybody. What is the degree of detachment a person has? That determines. Get the strength of the detachment determines that whether one should give up actions or not. Vairagya is not very firm. Viveka is not that strong, firm. Then better level of karma yoga. Go through the ashramas. Do the duties prescribed by the shastram. As I told many times, Vedaha is a pita. If you look at Veda, the shastram as a Vedaha, Veda is father. If you look at Veda as a Shruti, mother is Shruti. Mother and father always think of the well-being of the children. In the same way, Shruti prescribes a sick child must be given which medicine. Healthy child should be given which food. Mother feeds in keeping with the mental, physical health condition of the child. In the same way, in keeping with the mental condition of the every individual being, Shruti Mata prescribes, so you do this karma, that is how you can become absolutely healthy later on. Absolute health is possible only in jnanam. In fact, beautifully explained in Ayurveda Shastram, the healthy person is said to be swastaha. Swasmin tishtati iti swastaha. who is healthy? Swastaha means healthy person. Swasthyam means health. Swasmin tishtati iti swastaha. Simply if you say health, he is healthy. You know, means swastaha. What does it mean? Who is absolutely healthy? The person who remains as himself. If you are yourself, you are healthy. Being oneself is being healthy. Absolutely healthy. Swastaha. If your identity is with the body, mind is complex, you are parastaha. Aswastaha. Aswastaha is unhealthy. So, Shruti Mata's help aim is to help us all become swastaha, healthy. And our health is in being ourselves. In order to be ourselves, not to have wrong identity, not to be aswastaha, what we need is only jnanam. You do not know your surupam. That's why you mistake. That's why you become aswastaha. So to help us remain swastaha, become swastaha, remain swastaha, Shruti Mata prescribes these duties. Like any doctor prescribes different medication. It's all for mental refinement. It's all for mental preparation. Absolute mental refinement is in jnanam. When a person becomes absolutely mentally refined, the most mature individual is a jnani. Then he is swastaha. Until then, we're all sick. We're aswastaha. Therefore, a person who is relatively mature and healthier person, for him, what is the only jnanam he needs? And who is aspiring only for jnana? Mumukshoho, jigyasoho, sarva karma sannyasa vidhanam is there in Shruti and Smriti. Therefore, what you say is wrong. This is Shankaracharya negates the Purva Pakshi, the jnana karma samuchyavadi, the person of Bodhayana Matam. Anyway, this is where we left last class. Remember? And today's class, yesterday's class we saw. No, still Purva Pakshi will not keep quiet. Siddha tarhi sarvashraminam jnana karmanoho samuchayaha. Okay. That means not only for sannyasi, not only for grastaha, is what sarva ashramin. What he said at the very beginning, he comes back to square one. Sarva ashraminam jnana karmanoho samuchayaha siddhaha. Oh, then let us do one thing. Why only for grastaha? Okay, only for grastaha, sautta karma, smartha karma, etc. People of all ashramas should combine jnanam with all karmas as a means of attainment of moksha. Shankaracharya says, no, there's no need for combining any karma at all with the jnanam as a means of attainment of moksha. A person who is a seriously of jignyasu mukshu, he needs only jnanam. The synthesis of jnanam and karma is not at all required. He says, mukshoho sarva karma sannyasa vidhanat. Already, Shankaracharya says, already it has been emphatically brought to light. What? Sarva karma sannyasa vidhanam. Sarva karma sannyasa vidhanat. As there is prescription of renunciation of all actions for a mukshu, what you say is not correct. What Purupakshi's view is wrong. And having said that, he will not leave here. He presents many quotes from the Upanishads first, which we have read yesterday itself. Okay. Vyutthana, vyutthaya, பிக்ஷாச்சரியஞ்சரந்தி. தஸ்மான் ஞாசம் ஏஷாம் தபசாம் அதிரிக்தமாகு. டெஃபினெட்லி வென் அ பர்சன் பிகம்ஸ் தீவிர முக்ஷு, த மோர் மெச்சுர் பர்சன், ஹைலி மெச்சுர் பர்சன் வில் நாட் ஆஸ்பைர் ஃபார் எனிதிங் அதர் தென் மோக்ஷா. A person who is aspiring only for moksha will require only jnanam, no karma, no karma phalam. There is no interest in anything else. No artha kama is not, he doesn't need any more artha kamas. He does not need, he does not depend on any punyamasa anymore. Just for maintenance, body maintenance, he can live on alms. He doesn't mind. He wants only jnanam. Such a that burning urge for moksha is there, means for him what shastram prescribes is only sarva karma sanyasa. He cannot take his mind away from the shastram, away from his dwelling of swarupa anusandhanam. Such people vyuttaya, giving up everything, bhikshacharyam charanti, such people live on alms. I mean, they don't do anything. They do not involve themselves in earning anything, in possessing anything. Therefore, in Mahanara Upanishad said, Yesham tapasam nyasam atiriktam, of all disciplines practiced, renunciation is the exalted divine, exalted. Renunciation is said to be the exalted of the disciplines. Nyasaha, nyasam eva atyarechiyate. Always renunciation exists. A person's mature renunciation is the best, exalted. Again, amrutattvam anashuhu. People attained AK Amrutamanashu. Many people may try for jnanam and moksha, but very few people, because of the strength of the vairagyam and viveka, they alone attain immortality. Okay? How? Only through renunciation, by giving up everything, having their focus totally on jnanam. Always place attention only in completely remaining in contemplation to the exclusion of everything else, to renunciation of everything else. Very few people attain immortality. Not by karma, not by progeny, not by any other possession of wealth, etc. So all these are the quotes which support Shankara Bhagavatpada's, the fact revealed by Shankara Bhagavatpada. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, that is a fact. What Shastrams, because this is what is the teaching of the Shastram. The teaching of the Shastram has to be derived from the words of the Shastram. To derive the correct teaching of the Shastram, the word Shastram must be analyzed properly. And the proper analysis must be done in such a way that it doesn't contradict logically. It doesn't have any logical loopholes. People who accept Veda Shastram as the Pramanam, they only have all these interpretations. All of them hold on to Veda only as the Pramanam. Their interpretation of Veda mantras is different. The interpretation of Smriti Krishna's words is different. They also say they present their view as their interpretation as the teaching of the Shastram. So whose interpretation should we follow? They also say they follow Vaidikas. They're also Vaidikas. All are Vaidikas. All of them follow Veda Shastram the Pramanam. But they defend their interpretation. Whose interpretation should we take? Doubt comes. That's why the words of the Shastram, the mantras must be analyzed thoroughly. And there's a way how they should be analyzed also. When the mantras are analyzed properly, connecting every, you know, different things, and the analysis, the conclusions made through analysis should not contradict our reasoning also. So Shankaracharya says, that's why, see, our clarity will be enhancing tremendously as we understand how to think properly. You know, reading Shankara Bhagavata's Bhashyam will help us think correctly, to see things from different angles. That's why this what is actually the teaching of the Upanishads. This what actually is the teaching of the Smriti. Even Jabala Upanishad says what? One can skip the ashrama if the urge is such. Why should you go and waste your time in agrastha and vanaprastha ashramas? Come and skip, jump, leap from Brahmacharya ashrama to sannyasa ashrama. That is the urge. Brahmacharya deva pravrajete ityadyaha shrutayaha. Okay, this is but last word sentence is from Jabala Upanishad. And ityadyaha shrutayaha, Shankaracharya says what? Come on, I'm not simply saying what I'm, it's not my vision. It is not what I am saying. This is what is conveyed by the statements of Shruti in all these Upanishads. Having said that, and now he moves on to the next, and where not only from Shruti, come on, here are the examples from Smriti also. We have two verses first. The first verse is from Mahabharatam. The second verse, I'll send you that link later on. Okay. The second verse is actually from another small, tiny, minor Upanishad. Okay, let me read the first verse first. Let me explain that later on. Tyaja dharma madharmancha ubhe satyanrute tyaja. Tyaja dharma madharmancha ubhe satyanrute tyaja. Ubhe satyanrute tyaktva. Yena tyajasi tatyaja. Ubhe satyanrute tyaktva. Yena tyajasi tatyaja. In Tamil we have a beautiful sentence. Patruha patratran talinai apatruvidarku. Now the same meaning comes here. Tyaja dharmama dharmancha ubhe satyanrute tyaja. Ubhe satyanrute tyaktva yena tyajasi tatyaja. First he says, come on, if your goal is only moksha, what you want is only moksha now, because you have grown out of desire for everything. You are dispassionate towards everything, artha, kama, dharma. Then you will only jnanam. It is what? Tyaja, give up. What? Dharmam, adharmancha. Dharmam, adharmancha, tyaja means what? Understand that you are ahatma, who are free from both punyam and papam. Dharmaha stands for punyam. Adharmaha stands for papam. May you see understand this fact that you are free from all punya papams. Therefore, you are free from all punya papams. Means what? You are free from sanchita karma, agami karma, paradha karma. You are free from all karmas. So dharmam tyaja, adharmam tyaja means understand the fact that you are free from all punya papams, all karmas. Why? Because you are free from doership and enjoyership. Understand yourself being free from doership and enjoyership. Thereby understand yourself being free from all punya papams. Understand that you are free from all punya. Panchita agami paraddha karmas. Then ubhe satyanrute tyaja. Please make a note. The word satyam means satyam and anrita means mithya. Absolutely we say Brahman is satyam, jagan mithya, Brahma satyam. Isn't it? But here the reality is satyam, the universe is mithya, false appearance of the Brahman we say. But here please make a note. In this Mahabharatam verse, the meaning satyam stands for relatively, empirically, objectively real world of duality experienced in the waking state. Anrita means subjectively real, subjectively real, objectively non-real, the world of duality experienced in dream. Understand? The dream. So satyam and anritam. Satyam cha anritam cha satyanrite. Satyam stands for the world of duality experienced in the waking state. Anritam stands for the world of duality experienced in the waking dream state. Why satyam? Relatively real. One is objectively real. Satyam. Which is real for everyone. Dream is subjectively real but not real for others. Therefore, anritam, isn't it? So, subjectively real dream experience, objectively real waking state experience, all of them tyaja. May you understand objectively real, empirically real, world of duality experience, the waking state also is not real. Mithya. And the subjectively real world of you had explained the dream state also is mithya. It's all false appearance. Okay? So, give up that also. Ube satyanrute tyaktva. Having given up everything as mithya, having negated everything as given up means what? Having negated everything as mithya. Then yena tyajasi tatyaja. What is that because of which there's a possibility of negating everything as mithya? Yena tyajasi. That because of which negation of everything as mithya is possible. What is that? The knowledge of self-existence. Who is the one who is negating everything as mithya? Who is the one who is negating everything as mithya? Who is the one who says, who is free from all punya papams? That one, ahankara. See, if you do not have the knowledge of self-existence, then you cannot talk about what? I am free from doership. I am free from enjoyership. I am free from that. You cannot say that. Is it? That is ahankara. That ahankara. Yena tejasi. That because of which negation of everything as mithya is possible. That because of which, okay, seeing oneself being free from doership and enjoyership is possible. That also, the ahankara also, because of which negation and giving up is possible, may you give up that also. Yena tyajasi tatyaja. May you resolve the ahankara also. Finally, as what? May you give up, resolve Give up means what? Give up ahankara means may you resolve that ahankara isens also as mithya. Understand? Give up, resolve ahankara also as mithya. Negayam mithya because ahankara also the swarupam. Understand, use ahankara to arrive at the swarupam. When you say aham brahmasmi, what now? Aham is resolved. Resolved, I am also in that I sense, ahankara also in that. Then what is there to give up, isn't it? Give up means here, you see what is only Brahma. Okay, to see that, in fact, absolutely, there will be renunciation of everything. Renunciation is what is the cognitive renunciation. It's not physical renunciation, isn't it? One has to see, appreciate, understand the fact. Understanding this fact is what? That is moksha. When the cognitive renunciation of everything is done, which is moksha. This is what is recommended in the Mahabharata. Smriti also, renunciation is recommended. Renunciation is what emphasized. Tyaja, tyaja, tyaja. Tyagena ikena mrtashtamanashahu. Therefore, next verse, we'll go to next verse. Samsarameva nissaram drishtva saradidrukshaya. Samsarameva nissaram drishtva saradidrukshaya. Pravrajantyakruto dvaha. Pravrajantyakruto dvaha. Param vairagyamashrita. Param vairagyamashrita. Pravrajantyakruto dvaha. Pravrajantyakruto dvaha. Param vairagyamashrita. So here he says, vairagyam ashritaha, param vairagyam ashritaha. Not light vairagyam, param vairagyam. People who are given to total dispassion. People who are tremendously dispassionate and detached. People of detachment. People of very strong detachment are param vairagyam ashritaha. This param vairagyam ashritaha, people who are given to this intense, firm, strong detachment, what do they do? Pravrajanti. Pravrajanti means they just wander. They don't have anything to own. They do not possess anything, own anything. Just they wander as enunciates. How? Akrita udvahaha. Akrita udvahaha. Udvahaha is equal to vivahaha. Vivahaha, udvahaha mean the same. Udvahati iti udvahaha. Vivahati iti vivahaha. Marriage, wedding. So, akrita udvahaha means as unmarried people. As people who have not, who didn't get, no, married. Akrita, krita udvahaha are married people. Akrita udvahaha, unmarried people. As unmarried. Nowadays people, I shouldn't say unmarried also. Because nowadays people don't get married, but still they live together. No. As people of celibacy. Understand now? I had to be very careful nowadays. Oh, we also ought to not married people were saying in this country. In India, married means only married is with the wife. Isn't it? Vedic culture. Nowadays, I don't know. Akrita Udvahaha, which means many are Akrita Udvahaha in this country. Isn't it? The world now. So we can't think, they are not. I mean, people whose attention are not at all paid to or diverted towards the enjoyment of any pleasures. The pleasure of having the wife, having children, and having the family around, having relatives, having manpower, having money power, having. Is it all the people who are not interested in any such pleasures? So, akrita udvahaha, people who are not married, the unmarried. Akrita udvahaha, so param vairagyam ashritaha akrita udvahaha pravrajanti. Why do they do? How is it possible for them to do that? How is it possible for them to wander, renouncing, having renounced everything, not having anyone to belong to, not having anything to possess? What? The vairagyam is possible because of the viveka, because the discriminative understanding. What is the discriminative understanding they have? Samsarameva nissaram drishtva. Having seen, having thoroughly analyzed the whole world, having analyzed this light, transmigratory life, fraught with what? All ashramas, brahmacharya ashrama, grihastha ashrama, vanaprastha ashrama, having analyzed all these ashramas and the duties prescribed for them, having understood all the varnas, varna dharmas, ashrama dharmas, and having all this, having analyzed thoroughly the entire world here, the world of objects, having analyzed their actions, analyzed the limitations of actions, limitations of the results, understood the results of actions, understood the law of karma, everything having thoroughly understood, they arrive at the conclusion. What is that? Nothing in this world of this life of transmigration, in this world of duality, in this samsara, there's nothing which is real. Nothing is substantial. Samsarameva nissaram drishtva. The entire world of duality, life of transmigration is non-substantial. Having discovered the fact of samsara being non-substantial, nissara, there's no sara. It's all non, the samsara is nothing but non-substantial forms, names and functions. There's no sara here. So having discovered the fact of the samsara being non-substantial, non-essential, now they want to discover what? They are desirous of seeing, discovering the substance of the non-substantial samsara. They want to discover the essence, the truth of everything. Sara didrikshaya. Didriksha is a desirative word. Drashtum icha didriksha. Like how moktum icha moksha, jnatum icha jignyasa, drashtum icha didriksha. Desire to see is didriksha. with a desire to see, being desirous of seeing, didrikshaya. Kasi didrikshaya, sarasya didrikshaya, sara didrikshaya. Being desirous of seeing, being desirous of discovering the very essence, the truth, the only truth, the only substance of the non-substantial samsara. Having the only commitment to this, the sara darshanam. The commitment is only to sara darshanam. Sara darshanam is tattva jnanam. They want the knowledge of the truth. Tattva darshanam is sara darshanam. Knowledge of the truth is what? Knowledge of the essential nature of everything. They want to know the substance of the substantive samsara. Substance of the substantive, the world. So, sara didrikshaya, the desperateness to discover the truth, having found out everything here being non-essential, people are totally given to this intense detachment, not even having entered into the grihastha ashrama, as from this, from brahmacharya ashrama itself, that's akruta udvahaha, not even having gone through the samskara called vivaha. Vivaha, udvaha is a samskara for us. That is why I don't want to compare. If we simply say unmarried, it would be nothing. Even they given up, giving up the one of the important 41 samskaras called marriage. From the brahmacharya ashrama itself, they live wandering. They wander as enunciates, aspiring only for jnanam. Saradidriksha. All that they have is saradidriksha. Saradarshanam. So what about all the Shankaracharya course? He says what? Come on. What are you talking about? You say, sarvesham, ashraminam, jnana karmanoho samuchyaha. Where is the kamuchyaya? Karmanoha samuchyaha. Jnana karmanoho samuchyaha kutra uktaha asti. Kutrapi uktaha. Nowhere in Shruti, Smriti, it is not said. In fact, we find such so many verses where very clearly in Shruti and Smriti it is stated that a person who is aspiring for jnanam, you know, for moksha, naturally will be dispassionate, detached towards everything. Then a person of detachment has to give up all the activities. That is why when we read all these things, people be very careful. So much is taught. People who are not ready enough, they listen, then give up the problem. That's why already it is very, very clearly said. One must do karma. See, third chapter, whole chapter, we're going to undersee that how important it is to live a life of karma yoga. Karma yoga itself is a discipline. In fact, vivaha is a discipline. Living a married life is a living it. Learn to become disciplined. It's all for mental refinement. Marriage, entry into grihastha ashrama, doing one's duties as a grihastha ashrama is for mental refinement. Ultimately for jnanam and moksha. It's not to get engrossed in enjoyment of pleasures. No. Of course you are allowed to enjoy the pleasures in life. You're helped to enjoy everything in life. Don't need deprive yourself of enjoyment of anything in life. You enjoy everything in moderation, and you're provided that that infrastructure is allowed, given here in the Shastram. Enter into Grastha Ashrama, do your duties, become refined, then leave. And then the mutual cooperation will be there for woman and man to move on to the next ashrama. Both will they become mature. Not physically you have to run away from some wife and husband, but how you live your life, your commitment to what, that is very clear. Isn't it? Why I have to emphasize, because very strong sannyasa is emphasized. People should have wrong understanding. That is why we had to come back to this class. Because Pooja Swami, I remember him telling, you will be very strong, isn't it? Where you place your mind is more important. What is the priority must be very, very clear. In fact, a person enters into Grastha Ashrama itself, knowing his limitations. Marriage is a samskara, means ultimately for on the day of marriage itself, we chaturvidha purushartha siddhartham. In fact, marriage, on the day of marriage itself, goal is brought to light. Moksha is the ultimate choiceless goal for both bride and the bridegroom. The life entry into Grastha Ashrama itself is to be for mental refinement required for the jnanam for moksha. For attaining the jnanam and moksha and entering into this Grastha Ashrama, to do their duties for what? For mental refinement. That's why vivaha is called samskaraha. Not samsaraha, samskaraha. Vivaha samskara. Upanayanam is a samskara, vivaha is also a samskara. Mental next step. Samskara for mental refinement. So it is not just you want to get stuck there itself all through whole life. It's not for making a person emotional entanglement. Marriage is not for emotional entanglement. You are helped to entangle yourself emotionally with the right person who understands your commitment to dharma, thereby who respects you, thereby who has trust in you, thereby who maintains intimacy with you. Beautiful, isn't it? And this is how the marriage life should go. And there's a contribution for the perpetuation of dharma by having progeny. And they are taught the values in dharma. Then you grow along with your children. Okay, much you become more refined. And gradually leave ashrama. But leaving the ashrama does not mean physically disappearing, running away somewhere. You are exactly where you are, but refinement is, this level of refinement will be different. In keeping with the refinement, your objects of interest, your priorities will change. In keeping the priority, your activities will change. That's how one gives up all activities. Isn't it? So, it's a very beautiful thing. Isha Shankaracharya says, Sarva karma sannyasa is choiceless for a tivra mukshu at one stage. There he doesn't need, there's no need for him to combine karma anymore with the karma jnanam. That's the idea. Okay. And this, the second verse, samsarameva nissaran drishtva saradi drukshaya pravrajantyakruto dvahaha param vairagyamashritaha. So samsaram nissaram eva drishtva saradi drukshaya param vairagyamashritaha akruta udvahaha pravrajanti iti brihaspatihi api kacham prati. As I told you, who says this to whom? The first verse was said by Narada to Shukacharya. The second verse is said by Brihaspatihi to a Kachaha. Kachaha is the name of the person who was listening to Brihaspati. In fact, the second quote is from Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad. Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad. Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad consists of only verses. Okay. The Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad, in fact, has only verses, consists of many verses. The two, three sections, and there may, each section has more than 30, 40 verses. And this comes in the first section, the 15th verse. And there is very brief explanation comes. Pravritti lakshanam karma jnanam sannyasa lakshanam tasmad jnanam puraskritya sannyase diha buddhiman. In fact, Sanatya quotes only one verse. The 16th verse also is equally interesting verse. All verses. Pravritti lakshanam karma jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. See, karma is pravritti lakshanam. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Tasmad jnanam puraskritya. Therefore, placing knowledge as the first. Iha sanyaset buddhiman. An intelligent person must renounce. Yada tu viditam tattvam param brahma sanatanam. Tadaika dandam sangrihya sopavitam shikham tyajet. Oh my God. That Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad actually, the whole Upanishad emphasizes sannyasa. Whole Upanishad. I should not even read it in the class. And what was the jnanam? Ahame vaksharam brahma vasudevakhyam advayam iti bhavo dhruvo yasya tada bhavati bhaikshabhuk. The person becomes, you know, the person lives his life as an eater of alms, you know, when he has this dhruvaha bhavaha, when he entertains the thought, only thought what? Aham eva aksharam brahma, I am imperishable reality brahma, known by, you know, vasudevakhyaha advayam, I am a non-dual reality known as vasudeva, absolute reality brahma. Such, my God, I don't want to read all the verses from Narada Parivrajaka Upanishad. I don't want to read all the verses. Just I wanted to show you only one or two verses. Okay. Just wanted to show. I'll send you the link. I don't want to send to everybody because I don't want to. One verse is enough. Shankara Bhagavatpada himself presents only one verse, okay? The whole Upanishad explains how the person of detachment lives his life as a sannyasa, enunciate, giving up everything. This is called Parivrajaka Upanishad. Parivrajaka means the one who is wandering, having renounced everything. A sannyasi is called Parivrajaka. That is why the name itself is Parivrajaka Upanishad. And the teacher is here Brihaspati. Okay. Now, one more beautiful verse from the big section of Mahabharatam, Shanti Parva. Is instruction of Shukacharya. Karmana badhyate jantuhu. Karmana. Don't forget, these are all the quotes presented by Shankaracharya in support of his teaching that a mukshuhu jignasuhu needs only jnanam. It does not need to combine jnanam with karma. Don't forget the context. Okay? கர்மணா பத்யதே ஜந்துஹ வித்யயா ச விமுச்யதே. கர்மணா பத்யதே ஜந்துஹ வித்யயா ச விமுச்யதே தஸ்மாத் கர்மண குர்வந்தி யதயஃ பாரதர்ஷினஹ. தஸ்மாத் கர்மண குர்வந்தி யதயஃ பாரதர்ஷினஹ. சோ ஹியர் Shuka, it is Shuka Anushasanam. See, it is not Shukasya Anushasanam, Shukaya Anushasanam. Okay, because compound you can take the any way you want to, isn't it? Iti, this Shuka Anushasanam means what? You can take it as Shukasya Anushasanam or Shukaya Anushasanam. It is not Shukasya Anushasanam. It is Shukaya Anushasanam. It was instruction given to Shukacharya by his father Vyasa. So Vyasa Bhagavan's instruction for his son Shuka. So Shuka Anushasanam. Karmana Badhyate Jantuhu. Any living being is bound by karma. Once you perform karma, see, there is no choice about doing karma. Yeah, there is no choice about doing karma. You have to do karma in this world. Once you are born with the body mind and complex, you have to do karma. It is inevitable, unavoidable. Nahi kshanamapi kaschit tishtati akarma krita. Karyatehi avashaha prakruti jaihi gunaihi. We understood all these facts already. So it's impossible to remain in this world without doing any karma. But still, karma is performed means, take it for granted, there will be results of actions. The results have to be exhausted. So either in this janma or later on, therefore one has to be born. This is how one becomes bound by karma. That is why this binding karma should be converted into non-binding karma. By performing it with proper attitude in conformity with dharma as an offering to Bhagavan. And also always conscious living a life of karma yoga, one has to convert one's binding action to non-binding actions. One's focus must be on mental preparation so that in due course of time, one can become mature enough to give up karma also. Isn't it? So karma yoga is emphasized. That is why karma yoga is the method of converting the inevitably done, unavoidably done duties into a preparatory discipline is taught as karma yoga in the Shastram. So, but what's the fact? The bitter fact is karmana badhyate jantuhu. Every being is bound by karma. And what is it which can liberate a person? How does a person become liberated from bondage? Vidyaya cha vimuchyate. The person becomes liberated, freed from bondage of karma, only by knowledge. Jnana deva kaivalyam jnanena muktihi vidyaya vimuchyate. Therefore what? Tasmat karma na kurvanti yatayaha paradarshinaha. So therefore yatayaha, he says that is the reason. Yatayaha means sanyasinaha. Yatnashilaha sanyasinaha, people of appropriate, adequate efforts. Yatnashilaha, the sanyasin says, who are they? Paradarshinaha. Paradarshinaha means param darshitavantaha ye, the people who have discovered the truth, who have got themselves uplifted from the ocean of samsara to the shore of moksha. They are paradarshinaha. Paradarshinaha are the people who have accomplished the end. In terms of such people, ajnanis need not do karma. Why? The people of accomplishment, still they be doing, but still they don't need to do anything. Not for happiness, not for moksha. Jnanis perform karma not for moksha. Here the question is for moksha. For moksha, you don't need karma. Don't need jnana. But they do. But here, people who are aspiring only for moksha also need not do karma. They will not do. I'm not interested. To be involved in anything, you must be interested. You've grown out of everything. Desires. You won't be doing. So, yataya, paradarshinaha yatayaha tasmat karanat na kurvanti. People are very clear about their goal. Paradarshinaha. I know this is what my goal is. For which all that I need is only jnanam. People who have such understanding. See, people who have the vision of the truth, jnanis also said to be paradarshinaha. And people who are aware, who are purusharthanischayaha, also said to be paradarshinaha. People who have purusharthanischaya, who have discovered the truth, and who have to assimilate, who just want to live a contemplative life for ascertainment of the truth, to enjoy freedom here and to attain videha mukti. Also such people, karma na kurvanti, they don't perform karma. It doesn't mean they're lazy, okay? They're not lazy. The most, the busiest people, how busy? Not in a fraction of a second, they do not revel. They do not dwell upon their surupam. The desperateness is such that they cannot take attention away from their surupam. They said, don't mistake real, you know, people could commit shastra for lazy people. Tasmat karmana kurvanti. This has become somewhat wrong also. Because this, such lifestyle is allowed for genuinely committed people. People who have varying saffron drops of wonder also, we do not know whether real renunciates or simply they appear to be renunciates. Okay. Tasmat karma na kurvanti yateha paradarshinaha. Why does he quote all these verses? Come on. These are smriti verses. Shankaracharya says, see, Shruti says the same thing. Smriti says the same thing. What same thing? For a mumukshu does not need any karma. Mumukshu jignyasuhu needs only jnanam. Iha api sarva karmani manasa sanyasya ityadi. Finally he comes back to Bhagavad Gita, it's herself. In Bhagavad Gita also, leave alone the Mahabharata, other Puranas, other Upanishads. In Bhagavad Gita also we have this verse. Sarva karmani manasa sanyasyaste sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvanna karayan. It is said in here also. A person having renounced everything mentally, physically he'll be doing. Mentally renounced the notion, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Remaining as Atma also, person without doing anything, he remains in this nine-gated city of body. as a wise person also. What is said is, for moksha, a person is only jnanam. That's the idea. Okay. Now he says, mokshasya cha akaryatvat mukshoho karma anarthakyam. See, mokshasya akaryatvat. Why a mukshu does not need to do any karma as a means of attainment of moksha? See, a jnani can perform action. An ajnani has to perform actions. The person aspiring for moksha also can perform. The idea is, karma is not required as a means of attainment of moksha. For moksha, what a person needs is only right perspective. Moksha is in right perspective, the self and the world. For right perspective, what a person needs is correction in the error of, correction of error in one's perception. For correcting the error in the perception, one needs to resolve ignorance. Resolving ignorance alone is required, nothing else. For resolving ignorance, one needs only jnanam. Nothing else. Knowledge is required for resolving ignorance. In resolving ignorance, the error in the perception of the self will be corrected. In correcting the error in the perception of the self and the world, there will be right perspective. Right perspective is moksha. Nothing else is attained here. Isn't it? There's no attainment. Moksha is not something to be attained. This discovery of what is already there. Something to be attained, something away from oneself, means that one has to do karma. One has to make efforts, do, to achieve something which is away from oneself, other than oneself. Here moksha, freedom, limitlessness, fullness, happiness is already surupma of one's own self. Surupma, the truth of every individual. Therefore, it is something to be discovered, not to be attained. Where is the need for karma? Karma is recommended by the Shastra only for preparing the mind and not for moksha. Karmanaha avashyakataka. What is the necessity of karma? Karma is required only for preparing one's mind. Only for mental purification, mental steadiness, intellectual sharpness, emotional stability, for all that. Only for preparing the mind, converting the gross mind to subtle mind, karma is required, not for moksha. For moksha, what you need is only jnanam. There's no question of combining anything with jnanam. Okay, so he says, mokshasya akaryatvat. Moksha, as moksha has the status of being non-product, akaryatvam asti mokshasya. Mokshasya akaryatvam means what? Mokshaha akaryaha. Moksha is not a product. Karyam means moksha is not a product, an effect. A product effect means what? It involves karma. So moksha is not a product. Moksha is not an effect. So moksha is not something to be attained. It's away from oneself, other than oneself. Therefore, what? Moksha being a non-product, for a mumukshu who is aspiring only for moksha, for him, karma anarthakyam, there's meaning, irrelevance of karma. Karmanaha anarthakyam, there's irrelevance of karma for a mumukshu. Karma does not serve any purpose for him. Karma is meaningless. Karma is not relevant for a mukshu who is aspiring for moksha. Jnanam, what is it? Jnanam. What will you do in IKEA if you want some vegetable? You want to buy a vegetable and you go and search for an IKEA. Wrong place to search for. Isn't it? So, moksha, and also moksha being non-product, as moksha does not have the status of being a product, an effect, mokshasya karyatvat mukshoho karma anarthakyam. There's irrelevance of karma for a moksha. The meaninglessness of karma for a moksha. After having explained so much, again Purva Pakshi comes and tells, okay, if we do not perform Nitya Karma is what? The prescribed duties are Nitya Karmani. Nitya Karmani means to be regularly done karmas prescribed by the Shastram. Vihita Karmani. The rituals, the duties prescribed by the Veda Shastram. To be done duties regularly are Nitya Karmani. And it is said, and they differ from ashrama to ashrama. Nitya Karmani are there. We have, and if a person does not do what is to be done, he will end up doing what should not be done. Therefore, Shastram says, if you do not do what should be done, you end up doing what should not be done. Therefore, better do what is right, what is prescribed for you. Sometimes people involve unnecessary things. Why? Nothing else to do. The jobless, no? Once you're jobless, and then if the lazy people's minds are what? Devil's workshop. You will do a lot of things will be going on and you end up doing something. That is why always keeping oneself occupied, engaged, entertained is very important. And the mind must be kept only for entertaining thoughts pertaining to Bhagavan. What is the mind for? Mind should be, the one must maintain only, the mind must be entertained. One must entertain oneself, entertain thoughts pertaining to only Bhagavan. That is possible only when you become mature. As an immature person, it is not possible to entertain thoughts pertaining only to Bhagavan. Not difficult. That's why we are trained from childhood. Come on. Entertain thoughts pertaining only to physics for 45 minutes. Entertain thoughts only pertaining to only mathematics for 45 minutes. We are helped. Education is for disciplining the mind. Any aparavidya is for preparing one's mind for aparavidya. We helped mathematics class, physics class, right from crayon, from childhood, is all for us to entertain, to keep ourselves occupied in right thing. The thoughts are very important, isn't it? What thoughts you entertain, where you place your mind is very important. So not physical action alone. The attention has to be placed in something for which you need to be physically engaged. Physical engagement is for mental, for entertaining right thoughts. So entertained, one must keep oneself entertained, engaged, occupied. That's why occupation is very important. Otherwise you'll go mad. You need to lean on something. Mind needs to lean on something, like a creeper cannot stay by itself. It needs to hold on to some support. The wind blows, the creeper will fall. It needs a strong support. So the mind needs something to hold on to until it's capable of holding only to Bhagavan. Not easy. Isn't it? Not easy. Because mind will go here and there. Here and goes here and there all the time, wandering, running, chase. It cannot remain one thing. That is the nature of the mind. This restless, agitated mind must be placed in Bhagavan, the truth, which is one's own Swarupam, to ascertain it. For that preparation, my God, whole life. That's why initially Saguna Upasanam, Puja, prayer, worship, think of anything and everything which reminds you of Bhagavan. See peacock, mind should go to Subramanya Swami. See anything green, think of Bhagavan. See anything white, think of Bhagavan. See any colors, think of. See everything what you see should remind us, can help you connect yourself with the Bhagavan. That is why we have our puja rooms are colorful. Understand? Why we keep our puja rooms colorful, so many? Because whatever we see outside should take our attention to Bhagavan. Initially, it's all for how exactly it is. For a child, we need to give crayons. Is it? The same way, it's very important to keep oneself. That is why Shastram says, if a person does not do one's ordained duties, prescribed duty, vihita karma, nitya karmani, end up doing wrong things, then accumulate papa. Therefore, it is said, if a person does not do what is to be done, and it is called omission of what should be done, will produce a papam called pratyavaya papam. Okay? Omission of what should be done will result in earning pratyavaya papam, pratyavaya doshaha. So, for a sannyasi, no vihita karma also is required. Understand now? If a person is desperate only for moksha, what he only jnana means, only hacha sanya, hacha, the person of strongest vairagyam can give up all karmas. Nitya karma, namityakam karma, bhagita karma, every karma give up. Only shravanam, mananam, nidhyasanam. Such vairagyam is there. Vairagyam is not very strong, then better do. Better do, you know, at least place your mind in Bhagavan. Do pujas. Be with Bhagavan. Try to do anything and everything which will keep you, help your mind be remain in Bhagavan. I heard some children went to the temple and they Annakappa was there. They participated. They were very happy. See, every small thing which help you to be with Bhagavan must. That's why temple is important. Pujas are important. Flowers are important. Colorful. Everything is important because in Vedic Dharma, if you do anything, so the mind is taken away from the world and placed in Bhagavan. So later on, it will be easy for you to shift your mind from Bhagavan to yourself. You will see Bhagavan himself as being yourself. Initially, you see the Bhagavan outside. Later on, you see Bhagavan as your own Swarupam. In seeing your Swarupam being Bhagavan, you see everything as Bhagavan also. Amazing, this the way of life. Shastra. But for a sannyasi, for a jigyasa mukshu, who want only moksha, for him no karma is required. Whereas others must do. So, but he says now, the sannyasi will not perform any karma. If he does not perform nitya karma, and will he not attract this this pratyavaya doshaha? The pratyavaya doshaha means what? Some ill effect produced as a result of omitting one's duties. So he says, Pura Pakshi comes and says, no, Nityani Anushteyani, I'm going to stop, don't worry, I'll stop soon. Nityani Anushteyani, the Nitya Karma should be performed. Why? For for the removal of pratyavaya papam, pratyavaya pariharartham nityane anushteyani, nitya karmani anushteyani. Yes, nitya karmani should be performed by people of other ashramas. Sannyasi also has his own sannyasi dharma, says that. Sannyasi does not study Shastra, place mind in Shastram, does not do puja, does not worship, does not think of Bhagavan, does not... What does Sannyasi do? The mind must be augment relevant to duty, isn't it? Everyone has one's own duty. So, Nitya Karmani should be performed by people of Brahmachari should do his Nitya Karma, his duties. Rasta must do his duties. Everyone should do one's own duties. If one does not do, you are neither there nor here means what? You must do. The Paradharma Anushtanam is not relevant, not required. You don't need to poke your nose in somebody else. You do your own duties. So Swamiji used to say those days, Sannyasi should enter into politics. Your tapas should bless the politicians for right governance. Unnecessary, you don't poke. You do your own duty. Mind your own business, isn't it? It's very harsh. Harsh expression, very harsh. You minded you, mind your... Anyway, what I'm saying, so he says, if a sannyasi does not do his nitya karma, and won't he, will he not pick up the pratyavaya dosha? So he has to perform at least nitya karma. He wants, his aim is somehow to accept his view of combining jnanam with karma. Jnana karma synthesis is must for him. So Shankaracharya says, no. A person of such strong vairagyam who wants only moksha, for him jnanam alone is required, no need for him to combine jnanam with any karma. Na asanyasa vishayatvat pratyavaya prapta. Pratyavaya prapti, attainment of pratyavaya dosha, papam is not there for a sannyasi. If a sannyasi gives up nitya karma, he will not attract any pratyavaya papam. Why? To have this sannyasi bent of mind alone, one has to do initially nitya karma. Doing one's nitya karma should result in whatever, having sannyasi's mind. I already got it. They served a purpose. Doing nitya karma has served its purpose for a sannyasi. Sannyasi means don't think of sannyasi who is wearing simply saffron robes. Sannyasi means a person who wants only jnanam and moksha, nothing else. Okay, whoever has such a mind, there's a purpose of doing nitya karma. One should do nitya karma to avoid pratyavaya papam. Why? Because one must prepare one's mind for jnanam. The person already got his mental preparation. If the preparation is not there, maturity is not there, one cannot aspire for moksha. The desperateness is not possible. Desperateness for moksha is a symptom of one's maturity. What he needs only jnanam. It serves its purpose. If a sannyasi does not do nitya karma, he has no papam. Immature minded should do their duties. Immature means what? One who is not adequately prepared. So pratyavaya prapti is not there. Well, I'm going to stop now. We'll continue next class because I have to explain a lot of things. We'll see next class. I think the Bhashyam, introductory Bhashyam, third chapter will go on and on for another two more classes, I think. Is it clear? Today's class clear? Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat. ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ ஹரி ஓம்.